Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So Ben, today we're here to talk about a bit about open banking. It's starting to become pretty a big topic in the news, and people might have seen it, whether it's the Herald, One News, but there's been lots of publicity. And I guess today, Ben, it's with your expertise, kind of navigate that. But I think before we get into it, it'd be great to get your backstory, your involvement in this side with Akahu and Dollar and your various entities and your journey towards open banking. So yeah, it'd be great to get a bit of a backstory from you first, Ben.
Yeah, I just chuckling to myself. Actually, your mention of them today, open banking is in the news these days. Because I started this about 10 or 11 years ago. So it's the usual overnight 10-year success type approach, maybe coming on the horizon soon. But about 7 years ago, 12 years ago even, 2013, I was kind of just a freelance software whilst working. I grew up and lived on golf courses and worked on golf courses and stuff like that. But I always was interested in technology and sort of banking, finance, small idea that, well, actually, I had a problem I need to solve for myself. So back in sort of 2012, we'll go back to then, I used to get really annoyed with my bank, who at the time was B, and my personal banking was, they would take, I think it was $20 at the time, if I went into overdraft on one account, even though I had money in maybe another account, you know, all up, I had money with them. But in the certain account, I might have gone a dollar into overdraft and they would take, I think it was 20, it might have been 10, but it was a significant amount of money, because I went to unarranged overdraft fees. And I thought that was just ridiculous. So I, being a developer, you try to automate things generally as a developer. You try to say, well, I could probably solve this. And so I sort of reverse engineered access to my own ASB accounts so that I could then programmatically say, well, actually, if I go into overdraft in this account, take money from this other account that I've got money in and make sure that the bank doesn't ping me this really annoying fee. And so as a developer, you normally build, we call them side projects, I guess, and these side projects turn into sometimes things, but generally it's just a way to upskill yourself. Most always have something on the go. They work on the weekends or outside of work hours, and it upskills them. It keeps them interested. And, you know, sometimes these things turn and take a life on their own and turn into these businesses. And so that's how I got started in this space, literally to solve my $10 ASB problem. And it worked. And then so sort of some friends and family started using it. And then I thought, actually, this is quite cool. I quite like a career in this software game. But at that, you know, I really had no experience. I didn't the seventh form. Ironically, I think it was the same year that Jenny Shipley changed drinking age down to 18 that I turned 18. So I sort of blame her for that, because I previously was quite a good student.
It's all her fault.
But so anyway, I didn't go to university. I was always sort of figured out things for myself and started, you know, just whatever I was doing, whether it was golf or software or music. You know, you start getting a little bit older, you sort of get a wife and kids and a mortgage, and you think, well, maybe I should get a proper job. So looking around at that time in the scene in New Zealand, Xero was really the shining light of, you know, a software company in New Zealand. Yeah. That was about it, really, to be honest, 2012. There was a couple of others, but certainly Xero was the one that caught my attention. So I, in a roundabout way, made this Twitter account, because at the time, Rod, the CEO, founder of Xero, was a prolific tweeter. And the only way I thought I could get his attention, because I didn't have a CV, I didn't have any qualifications, was to essentially assert myself into a conversation that he was having. And so I found the right opportunity. Long story short, it worked. I tweeted at this thing that he suggested, made a bit of a joke about it. Within 30 minutes, he'd emailed me, and then I was, you know, up to Xero, I think, the next week or the week after, from living in Arrowtown at the time, to Wellington for an interview, and I got a job, and my wife and family moved to Wellington in 2013, and I started working at Xero with the idea that I definitely wanted to take my own ideas and business, but I totally understood that I needed, well, my wife convinced me, probably more likely, that I needed to go and learn from someone that actually made software that people paid for, and the whole business of SaaS and everything that goes with it, not just the technical product. There's so much more to it that you soon discover that you can't just build a great product and expect everyone to line up and start paying you to use it. And so I ended up at zero, and say this is now 2013, and I spent about 18 months there, and then I was interested and got a chance to work within the bank feeds team at zero. So how do we get data in and out between the banks and zero? And so this is, again, 2013-14. At the time, Yodi was still very much used in New Zealand, as well as well as the sort of CSV drops that you, or the bank feeds application process that was sort of circa around that time. And then looking at the bank feeds team and Xero and some of the stuff, then when sort of also at this time in the UK, people were talking about this thing PSD2. And so open banking was kind of being talked about in the UK market. The idea that you as a consumer essentially own your data that the banks hold on you, and those banks will soon be forced to open up their APIs or create APIs to allow the consumer to connect that data to third parties should they choose to. So you think about Xero in 2007 when it launched, its huge sort of competitive advantage was the fact that it's kind of seamlessly connected your bank account feeds to this product. And so it was also obviously first to be a native cloud product. You didn't have to get the CD every year from MYOB and reinstall it sort of thing. And but the other big piece was this bank feeds idea. And so, you know, you can think of open banking as, I like to sort of think of open banking as it's playing out now as like zero bank feeds on steroids, but much more kind of accessible to any other company that wants to integrate that data into their product. And so Xero have a massive, or had a massive sort of moat built around their business. The fact that Rod and his team had gone and got this data access proprietary with the banks, you know, that no one else could have access to. But by definition, open banking sort of takes that a step further and says that actually anyone as a consumer, now as a consumer I say, yes, this is me, but I am a consumer of my own personal accounts, but also my business accounts. Anyone like that can then effectively ask the bank to say, yes, I want my data from my bank accounts to flow into this product that I'm authorizing. And so that's kind of open banking in a nutshell in New Zealand. And we certainly saw it play out over in the UK. There's an unregulated type version in the US that's been around a long time, whether it's through Yodlee or a newer model through the Plaid, Plaid.com, powers Venmo and Robinhood and all the popular fintech apps that you might hear about in the US market. And so I kind of thought when I was at Xero, well, this kind of bank account connection that I've built for myself, going back to that original ASB problem that I solved, could actually be a product. And there's probably regulations that will be coming in the next, and when this is 2013, I thought naively, maybe a couple of years, it might wind its way to New Zealand if it takes that long. Here we are in 2024 still, you know, talking about, are we there yet? Everyone knows it's coming. In which way quite it plays out, who knows? Will it be have to be regulated on the banks, or the banks or the industry get to it before the regulators force them to get to it? Regardless, it's coming. And so my kind of idea was to build these infrastructure and the plumbing and all that kind of connection points into these institutions in New Zealand before there was a kind of regulated market to do it. Because at that point, it's really easy for a big, like a Datacom or a Google or someone else to come into New Zealand and just plug in and do it. And so we had to do all the hard work ourselves without the bank's help or participation to do it early, knowing that it is probably a kind of winner-takes-all market. There's only one Xero in New Zealand for a reason. There's only one Trade Me in New Zealand for a reason. Our sort of market size dictates that one of these type businesses that is kind of provides the glue and the plumbing between a bank and those that data and the third parties that want to access it. And so that was kind of the idea, the genesis of it. In a roundabout way, as most startups, you sort of two steps forward, one back, and you sort of go over there and look over there. Let's go back. We'll go over, look over there and do some stuff. And so here we are today. And that kind of product is now called Akahu. And so that is an operating for official Akahu brand since sort of 20. Westman's invested and owns about 30% of that company. We have a small team of people that are working on that. You know, very recently the numbers were sort of 35,000 odd Kiwis have connected their bank accounts through us and then sharing it to one of the sort of 50 apps in our ecosystem. Starting to initiate around $5 to $30 million a month in payments through the interbank network, payments network. So one of the big things that open banking represents, and I think is the most interesting thing, particularly for the small business market, is the ability for small businesses to, and third-party fintechs, Xeros and the others, to utilize our existing interbank payments network instead of relying on the card schemes, MasterCard and Visa, sorry.
Yeah.
And so we are initiating, you know, we're not a regulated payments company because we don't touch the money. We're not a, you know, we're not in that space. We are simply a messaging service almost that says, I want to move some money from this account to this bank account. Use my existing bank, just tell my existing bank to move it from A to B. And we just sort of wrap APIs around that and make it really frictionless for that to happen. And so, you know, very shortly on the horizon, I think you'll see the likes of a lot of are now initiating payments from their apps. But obviously for the likes of someone like Xero and small businesses, you can start initiating payments directly from Xero, whether it be for payroll soon or, you know, paying bills and all those sorts of things, make it really frictionless to not have to jump out to another app and remember to pay it, or, you know, batch file uploads are, you know, pros and cons, and they come and go sort of in the Xero ecosystem at least. And so to really seamlessly just initiate a payment from Xero once it's approved, I think is a real game changer for people in terms of efficiency. And then there's all sorts of stuff around the edges around actually checking that that bank account is owned by the entity that is claiming to own it, and sort of invoice fraud and wrapping a whole bunch of services around that, which I think is really exciting in the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years as the sort of open banking rolls out in this country.
So with that, Ben, like, you know, obviously we are at a really interesting stage, as you said. You know, what you thought might be 2 years is taking a little bit longer to get here. And as you said, we've got a bit more in the press now around where open banking's at. Commerce Commission's even looking at, like, there's a lot of media pressure, I guess, doing around the bank. So where is New Zealand on this journey with open banking? As you said, there are obviously companies now using your system, Akahu, and that platform to give them better functionality for their clients and people be able to use their data. So where are we at within this becoming, I guess, mainstream's not the right word, but where are we at with this kind of really moving forward over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so there's two ways to look at it, that we look at it. So we are currently kind of an unregulated open banking system. So the banks haven't by any means created these APIs that we then connect into and then, you know, sort of move the infrastructure or move the data around. And so the way we do it is similar to some of your listeners may be familiar with a Yodlee. Certainly if you're a long time Xero user, you might have connected Yodlee at some stage. So that essentially works on the premise that you give a third party your username, password for your bank accounts, and they essentially log in programmatically to do the things that you're asking them to do. And so that is, you know, commonly referred to as screen scraping, which has always been a kind of an icky subject in the industry, but, you know, been long accepted method in lieu of no other access methods to these. So still very widely used by almost every mortgage broker in the country, in this country. And so, you know, this method that is a non-sanctioned, I guess, payment method from your bank. So essentially you're giving third party access to your accounts to do this one time thing. Been around a long time. So there's multiple ways that this has been played out and will continue to be played out for a little while until at least the industry themselves produce the APIs that I guess the wider ecosystem has been asking for a number of years. And so essentially what open banking in a regulated sense means is that there's none of this quote unquote screen scraping. The auth happens directly with your bank. So it's, you know, it's much more secure and it will have much more mainstream adoption because of the trust that naturally comes with that it's kind of endorsed by your bank. Yeah. Now, on a regulated sense, those functional APIs are still essentially non-existent. Like they don't exist in this market. And there's the idea that we'll have one-off payment APIs from the big four banks in May this year. There was a letter sent by, at the time, the Commerce Consumer Minister Farfoy in 2019 that said, what's happening with open banking? We've asked the industry to kind of take under its own steam and get on with it, and nothing's happened. Now, this was 2019, and still it's kind of same boat. So, yes, you're right to your point earlier around media, the ComCom, IMBE, various regulators, the government in general, looking at this saying, what is going on here? Do we need to step in and regulate, or can the banks organise this, or the industry organise it themselves? In all likelihood, I think regulation will be the most likely path to actually getting this out there.
Yeah.
You know, some of the, as I mentioned, the ComCom, as you mentioned, the ComCom, there's sort of multiple kind of market, banking market study was one avenue. There's the retail bank designation possibility as another one. You've got consumer data right, or CDR framework, which was in draft bill form at the end of its Labor term. And so far, we think the national government will pick up and run with that too. But regardless, we're still, I think, 2, 3, 4, 5 years away from having kind of feature complete API, regulated APIs with what Akahu has right now in the market. And so there's always going to be this, yeah. I kind of think there'll be this kind of long term, if you want this functionality, you're going to have to use this unregulated, quote unquote, market for a while,
yeah.
until we will happily upgrade our APIs to be, you know, auth directed with the bank as the main thing, as and when the banks bring those online. But you know, pessimistically, yeah. now, 10 years later, I'd say we're still another 5 years away before there's a kind of regulated equivalent for what we have now and have been delivering for a number of years.
You're a patient man, Ben.
Well,
you're a patient
yeah,
man.
I mean, that's like most things. If you knew what you were getting into, you probably wouldn't start.
You probably wouldn't do it.
As we keep going.
Yeah. But it was interesting. I guess, you know, that journey that you said that we're on and still a bit of a way to go. Obviously, as you said, you've got 50 applications. It's not a small amount of applications now on Akahu, and some of them are quite major players. And probably people might be
surprised.
Yeah, look,
IMBI is one of our customers. So IMBI use us to validate identity information that the bank holds on you. So not only is your bank transactional data, you know, as used for an accounting purpose, or as I mentioned earlier, the payments network through the bank, but also the fact that, you know, the bank has AML'd me to the highest degree and has my name, Benjamin Jared Lynch, on file and probably an address and some other information about me that can be shared with other third parties that want to almost piggyback on that information as an identity source. And so, you know, there's some great onboarding flows that sped up and processes, because essentially some of our customers like IMBI or you can join Milky Way Saver through us scheme, through those parties that need to sort of validate your name and address. So traditionally, you do a driver's license passport sort of upload, but then you'd then also upload a bank statement. Or you can get rid of that process, your claimed identity that the bank has. And if, for example, the driver license is scanned and it says it's Stuart Wilkinson, and then you can have a bank account that says you're also Stuart Wilkinson, then that's sufficient proof that you are, in fact, Stuart Wilkinson. And so that process is sped up dramatically, and it's really efficient.
Yeah.
And so there's all that sort of data that we can unlock through open banking, open finance in general, that makes these, you know, yes, they might be small use cases, but they all add up, and all that data is sitting there waiting to be unlocked for whether a personal or a business use.
Well, and I guess we all have that frustrational part, especially now that AML's a bigger part of the landscape for a lot of businesses of, you know, getting out all the IDs and stuff and simplifying that for your, and I think, and it's also, we do have to do it as an accounting industry, and, you know, it's legal, so there's no ways around it, but we know it's a pain in the ass for customers. So any way you can reduce friction for customers is, you know, really attractive for people, isn't it? So it's interesting, Ben, that you talk about that journey, because I was looking at a bit of research for this, that they were talking about the UK, this was Consumer New Zealand, and they were saying, like, and this is about last year, 60% of the UK population is now using open banking in some form. So this is, you know, it is UK banking, I guess the UK open banking was the first one. But I guess when you look at that market, what are the use cases that we're seeing in places like the UK, which could be on the horizon for Kiwis and Kiwi business owners?
Yeah, so on the personal finance sort of space, the number one use case in probably the UK market and certainly in the unregulated market like the US would be account aggregation. So I might, as I said earlier, I bank with ASB. Actually, most people do have a multi-banked in New Zealand, and certainly most people might have a Sharesies account or non-bank KiwiSaver account or some other sort of financial account where they have a, you know, want to track their net worth, for example. So, you know, most popular use cases is being able to see those other accounts in a single place that I choose. So it might be ASB, or it might be a third-party fintech app, or it might be some personal finance software or whatever it is. And that's kind of the stepping off point to open banking. And there's all sorts of other opportunities that open up from having that kind of single view of a customer and kind of live data of, yes, we can see his saver balance is coming in and he's got this over here and he's got this over here and this over here. And so you can build all sorts of really interesting and exciting products and experiences based off having that data.
I guess, Ben, for that, especially for business owners where their business banking is often different from their personal banking, being able to have one app where you could see everything, easily transfer funds between personal account, business account, what, you know, things like that, or between, and you said, and KiwiSaver, one app to manage your finances for your business and personal, pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, our finances are pretty fragmented these days. You know, it's pretty uncommon that someone would be single banked and that bank also has their KiwiSaver, and if they run a business, it's all the banks their business. You know, that's pretty old school these days. You know, it's pretty unlikely to happen.
It is.
So you are managing different interfaces and various things. It's very hard. It's easy to switch banks than most people realize, but it's still a pain in the ass, to be honest. And so if you can see all your stuff in one place and you can kind of transfer it really seamlessly, then arguably you don't really need to switch banks, you know, it doesn't really matter kind of thing, you know. So there's all that kind of use case that gets unlocked. And then certainly from a business perspective, I believe BNZ now connects kind of through their open banking framework to Xero. So it's a much more, you know, there's no paperwork to fill out. There's no, you know, forms that go missing and sort of processes. So even just removing friction from that simple process is a big win as well, and it's more secure and it's real time. It's not like an overnight batch file CSV, and so there's all sorts of other opportunities that can open up from that too, from a, say, a Xero or a small business perspective.
Yeah. So you talked about that aggregation being step one. I guess what are the more, especially in the UK, these advanced markets, what are the sort of that next level, especially in business, maybe we're starting to see the benefits for open banking for business owners and maybe how they're dealing with customers or whatever it might be?
Yeah, so it's probably a good point to jump in and say, as you mentioned at the intro, I'm founder and CEO of both Akahu and Dollar. And so my big interest and passion in this space was actually providing these new experiences around managing your money. And so, you know, as I said earlier, it was that whole experience around, well, actually, I've got money in this account. Can I just take the money over there automatically just before midnight and put it over there to avoid these fees? And so those experiences and those new products are the thing that I'm really passionate about and that I, you know, want to get on and build. It just so happens that when I went down that avenue, it turns out there was no APIs to banks, and there still you know, isn't, to build almost Akahu as this project to be able to do the thing that I actually want to
do the other stuff. Yeah.
But it obviously made sense to spin out that Akahu as an API business in its own right, because it wasn't just me that wanted to build these products. You know, there's obviously 50 now in production companies that want to do similar things for their customers or have these ideas, or there's a person in their garage that might be the next Sharesies in 2 years' time that can build with connected bank accounts and things, you know. So it certainly made sense to spin out Akahu, and that was a totally great business opportunity and viable business, and will continue to gain traction. But to your point, I also have what we call Dollar, so D-O-L-L-A. So it is essentially an interface that is powered by open banking and Akahu specifically, that does some of these experiences that we're talking about and sort of taking cues from some of the products that are being delivered in other markets overseas, and then building on some of the new stuff generally in technology. Dollar, example, with sort of focusing now fully on small business and how we can optimize or almost supercharge small business finances. And so one of those things is you can connect your Xero org through the Xero APIs to Dollar. So then you can then actually connect your bank account, your business bank accounts to Dollar, and you've got the single interface where you can see all your accounts. You can then run payments directly from Dollar and you initiate them. Or you can automate, which is our probably most popular feature right now, automate your accounts payable process, essentially. So a lot of your listeners, customers may be familiar with like a Dext or a HubDoc. So you get your own Dollar ID email address, send all your bills there. We'll extract all the key information a la like a Dext and approve it. It gets uploaded into your bills in Xero. Everything, no need to touch it. All the files are uploaded against that. Your accountant doesn't need to hound you to say, where's this invoice? Where's this invoice? As it happens to me all the time. More importantly, that bill gets paid on the day it's due, and then that payment gets reconciled in Xero and you don't have to touch it. So it's kind of one stop or one tap approval kind of payable automation. And so it's all those kind of experiences that we're interested in building upon using open banking and other tools. Certainly generative AI, ChatGPT, and some of these things that have come out in the last couple of years are really exciting in the space and of kind of administration, arguably bookkeeping, sort of data analysts, sort of entry tasks are exciting spaces to kind of fully automate and give people back time. Yeah. Focus obviously on much more higher value tasks. Six sort of bookkeeping, bank account reconciliation, accounts payable, all those kind of tasks in the next couple of years, whether it be open banking or generative AI or these other technologies, I can see sort of disappearing really fast. So kind of dollars at the kind of forefront of that in the New Zealand market and building some of those kind of next generation automation tools for banks, for business customers. Another classic example is you can set up a rule in your business bank accounts, for example, to say, whenever I get paid, take 30% or whatever the percentage is and put it in my tax account because my accountant keeps telling me to put money aside. And I never do it.
Yeah.
And no bank in New Zealand supports a percentage amount. It must be a dollar amount. So it doesn't work, right? It always has to be a manual process. So just those little innovations add up to like a really fully automated kind of task management, workflow management system that we can build by connecting all of these various apps and existing financial accounts together on top of some smart software.
Yeah. And for anyone who's probably picking up, we are the account for Ben, so we're the one that hounds him. But I'm also a dollar user. Ben got me onto dollar pretty quickly, about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, I think it was, Ben, wasn't it? And speaking, and this was more of personal use, but at the time I was doing a renovation. And so having lots of invoices for the builders, you know, plumbers, so on and so forth. And we've all had that where we've had that invoice come in. It's in your email, it's on a PDF, and then we're opening up online banking, copying, pasting, or we're having to put in that information into our online banking app to then pay it. And I think what dollar was, you know, you have an email address, you can forward your bill, as you said, Ben, it extracts the information. But there's a couple of things that also I think was really cool you kind of didn't mention there is, one, it will then automatically send an email to the person if they've got the email address that, hey, this person's paid. So that's kind of cool. You don't have to then follow up and say, oh, Bob, this is paid. Yep. But as you said, it does it on the due date. And so you've got a really good history of all your payments. You can select easily what bank account you want to do it from. And it was, you know, when you're kind of in the middle of a bill with like a lot of invoices coming in at certain times, it was send it through, boom, approve, and off you go, and it's done. And so you can just see that from a business application. If you're getting invoices, it's a mobile first experience as well, which I think is really important because I think a lot of the business banking stuff and desktop first and then you know, mobile second, it's a great way of getting that good oversight and making that process pretty seamless, actually a lot more seamless than it currently is.
There's kind of fronts of that accounts payable solution that we've got, so the fourth component that we haven't mentioned is kind of that verification point. So not only do we extract the bank account number out, but we do a whole lot of checks and balances to say that is this bank account number owned by the entity that is claiming to own it. So is this actually Bob's Plumbing 2002 Limited? Or is it someone pretending to be Bob's Plumbing and then you're putting your money into some other, you know, bank account, then it's as soon as it lands there, it's off to a Wise account, it's overseas, and then you're never to be seen again, sort of. So there's a whole lot of innovation that can be added on top of just that basic bank account payments sort of network, that which is where I think people get value from and then invariably, hopefully, want to pay you to add that value to their to automate out of their lives.
I'll tell you a story about that, Ben, actually, because last week, two weeks ago, I was on a golf weekend and the guy that was running it, I had to transfer some money, you know, to cover some of the costs. And I was like, Ryan, what's your bank account, mate? One of the few people I've met in my life knew his bank account off by heart. So he's just telling me, and I'm typing in. And I went, no, he wasn't, actually. He's quite a detailed guy, though, very well organized. Ryan, if you're listening, it was a great golf weekend. And then I said, hey, Ryan, do you bank with Kiwi Bank? And he went, how the heck do you know that? And that's because in dollar, obviously wants to put the name about, it came validated through, hey, this looks like a Kiwi Bank app. I only just put his name in, it wasn't his full account name. And so I said, oh, this doesn't look, are you sure about this? But he was like, oh, that's pretty good. So, you know, I think, And I guess that leads on to my next question. I guess, as you said, people will hear this, Ben, and see, you know, regulated v non-regulated. And I guess we're now in an environment where we've all had the text messages about not paying our tolls or whatever it is. So we're in a world where we've all probably been hacked in some ways from the credit card. And so cybersecurity and that stuff is really, really high of mind. And the banks are obviously putting a lot of money into sort of promotions around that. So I guess, you know, that word unregulated, when you're talking about your banking information, could probably go, ooh, this is against what we're kind of going again. But also, so I guess, how do you combat that? But I guess then links to that technology you're now bringing in, how is also this a solution to some of the concerns that many people have around not paying the Nigerian prince instead of whatever it is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm absolutely first to admit that is not the optimal solution that should be rolled out to the mainstream for this country. It is a... Yodlee is a method that has been around for a long time. It's a New York Stock Exchange listed company. Ironically, Secunda, the CEO, Zero, was actually a co-founder of Yodlee in one of her early success. And so we sort of mentioned, even to this day, if you've ever got a mortgage application or gone through a mortgage broker, you've likely gone through Illion or Credit Sense or some sort of screen scraping, quote unquote, service that goes and gets that bank statement data for you and then provides it to a third party. Given all that, as I said, I'm first to admit that it's not a solution that we should roll out en masse to the entire country. And so the obvious solution is the banks provide the auth themselves directly in their own environments, and a lot of that stuff just gets washed away. But what, you know, I would never do is sit around and wait for that to happen and banks to deliver that before you start building a product, because by then it's just far too late. And, you know, as I said, we don't, unlike Yodlee, I sort of didn't get to this point, but it's a detailed point, but it's quite specific in the fact that Yodlee stores your username and password so they can log in again and as you, and then give the data to the person that's requesting it. We are sort of a next generation, I guess, reverse engineered API sort of way of getting the data. So we go through the bank's mobile APIs that power their mobile apps, so we don't actually need to store your username and password. We get tokenized access. So absolute worst case scenario, someone managed to hack into our encrypted cloud environments and decrypt everything that we have about you. There's an API token that is basically useless. It can't be used to log into asb.co.nz or do anything with you. Now, most banks will still say to the letter of the law that will break our T's and C's, but, you know, that is, we've just taken that as this is the best current way to do it in lieu of banks actually upgrading the auth experience into their own environments. And at which point in time every bank rolls that out, or each bank rolls that out, we will absolutely be the first to switch over on day one when it's ready. But it's not. It's still going to be a long time before all banks, the big four, let alone the tier twos and other financial institutions, are ready. So there's always going to be this hybrid approach that operates, you know, quite successfully in all markets, including the US. But I do fully appreciate people's hesitancies and concerns around how that operates. Most people probably don't realize how widespread it is, as I said, through mortgage brokers or the likes of Poly or Yodlee in the day for Zero accounts and things. So it's almost one of those industries sort of dirty little secret type things around how that data actually gets in and out between organizations. And absolutely,
and I guess to your point though, Ben, is, you know, not getting too controversial here, but I guess it's a bit convenient for the banks to go, oh, well, we've got to make sure it's secure, you know, because the more their time they put it off, it's, you know, they're obviously having to put funds and investment to make these things happen. But it's kind of not in their interest, is it, really?
Well, no, it's not, to be honest. And that's probably why we're still, you know, 10 years later, still asking, are we there? Now, you know, I think to the CEO and the board level now of all banks realize that they have to do this. Like, this not like a...
This is coming,
It's we have to do it. So how do we best? Obviously, banks, the last Commerce Commission banking market study specifically called out the big four banks in particular on their woeful underinvestment in core technology that haven't allowed these services to be rolled out. And so there's, you know, they're, I guess they're paying for the lack of investment in that sort of technical infrastructure over decades, that now means, you know, some banks are replacing the core banking systems, which, is obviously a huge priority. And, open banking maybe gets pushed down to problem 49 that they need to solve, And so they've got multiple regulators asking them for things and, keeping a watch on them. So, they've got a lot of things they need to do. And until open banking and a government says you have to do this by this date or there will be consequences, they will probably be deprioritizing.
Yeah. So with that, Ben, just as we wrap up, I guess any final things we haven't covered, Ben, or I guess anywhere places people want to go to kind of find out more information, like we'll put the links to Dollar in particular down in the show notes as this, so you can click there and sign up and we'll do that from there. But any sort of final comments, Ben, before we wrap up?
Yeah, look, I just, Dollar at the moment, we've traditionally, Dollar has been around sort of some consumer experiences that sort of, and then secondary, some small business stuff. Now, very recently and very shortly, you'll get an update on your Stuart when you probably next update it, that it's like almost fully now a small business tool, because I just think there's so much opportunity in that space around connecting your bank accounts and Xero to an app that has all the smarts around automating, as I said earlier, some of the bookkeeping, accounts payable. If you use Xero Payroll, you can, once you post a pay run, we can then pick it up and actually pay your employees. So that final step of actually running a payroll product is paying your employees, which Xero Payroll doesn't do yet. So all those little edge cases that we kind of pick off around whether it's making improvements at your banking layer or even at the Xero layer, and adding some tools on top of that, so you can do less of banking and kind of data entry as a small business owner and more of actually working on your business and trying to build it than potentially just, copying and pasting and kind of maybe on a Sunday night hitting okay all the way down a Xero.
Green ticks,
So I think there's some really exciting space and finally having the kind of horizon around removing bank rec once and for all, certainly for a large set of users, and some of that accounts payable and all those kind of tasks, I think finally might be on the horizon of being removed and freeing up people's valuable time to either spend on their business or spend with their family, to be honest.
Yep, awesome. Well, thanks very much for your time, Ben. That's awesome and lots of insights. As I said, everyone, there is links below for all information about Dollar. Also, just check out all our social medias for any updates on what's going on. But thanks a lot, Ben. Speak soon.
Thanks for having me.